We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience.
Throws it down.
News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
What's good, Knicks Nation? Alex Gutierrez here, a.k.a. the Traticaster, with you on this check-in. We got my guy, Evan Damerill, with us today. He writes all things Cleveland over at Write Down Euclid, a nice newsletter that he's got going on. You can also find him over at Fear the Sword and Locked On Cavs. We got Evan on today to discuss the matchup between the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers that we got on Sunday. So before we get into all of it, make sure to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. All right, make sure to subscribe, hit that notification bell. But Evan, let's get into this, man. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. It's still, you know, obviously early into the NBA season so far, but Sunday's game between Cleveland and New York is going to be a fun one. And I know there's going to be a cloud of the Donovan Mitchell intrigue above it all, but at the end of the day, like, this is going to be a really good basketball game.
It is going to be a really good basketball game. We got both teams are doing really well to begin the season. Knicks are 3-1. And how are the Cavs doing on their side? They're 3-1 and one, aren't they? Or am I mistaken?
Yeah, they are 3-1 as of we're recording this. They play Boston tonight in Boston, so that could change. They could be 3-2. They also could be 4-1 heading into Sunday's game. So a lot could happen between now and then. But yeah, they're 3-1 and on a pretty hot streak, considering Darius Garland hasn't played much, if at all, this season so far.
Yeah, man, and so. Without Garland starting off, you know, you have a big four for this team. So how's life been with Donovan Mitchell so far? You know, I have to ask that question right off the rip, man. How's it been that you got him? Let me ask all these questions. Was it surprising that you got him? Did you have a feeling that you were going to get him? What was the whole feeling with Cavs country right now that they got Donovan Mitchell on that team?
It was definitely surprising. You and I are kind of talking about this before we hit record. It felt like a foregone conclusion for the longest time that the Knicks were just going to acquire Donovan Mitchell. He even said as such during his intro presser, where he kind of assumed, yeah, I was going to end up playing for the Knicks. But as we now know, just from everybody breaking it down from every angle, the Knicks and the Jazz talked a lot about it, and they walked away from discussions, and the Cavs just were kind of opportunistic and made an offer Utah felt like they couldn't refuse with Lauri Markkanen, who they believe, from what I've heard, is going to be kind of a key piece for them, especially with, one, him playing so well to start the season. They kind of reaffirmed that, but two, there's always going to be an intrigue with a seven-footer who can shoot three-pointers and rebound, and there's also Colin Sexton aspect in the draft picks and the draft pick swaps as well, and Ochai Agbaji, who hasn't played a second for the Jazz so far, I believe, is pretty intriguing as well, but it was definitely surprising. And like Donovan Mitchell, I found out, I saw the Woj bomb from a golf course. Mm-hmm. I didn't run around and scream. I was more so scrambling for work and just like, crap, who is this real? Is this actually happening? And I had to confirm it on my own end and then kind of had to piece it together. And I was actually golfing with my dad that day. And I said, we're actually wrapping up and we're going to grab lunch. And I just said like, hey, I got to go. And he's like, why? I'm like, work stuff. Like my brain's just melting at this point. Cause I'm like trying to process all the information that's coming in and like compress it and explain it to my family simply. So it doesn't turn into like 300 questions where they're like, well, what's going on? What does this mean? All that stuff. But in the long-term view, it's been great so far. Donovan has been awesome on the court. He's been awesome off the court. He is just an interesting guy in general. And you can see the fit between him and Garland work a little bit in the preseason. You wish you could see more of it during the regular season. But the Cavs have had to lean heavily on him to start the year. And I have his averages in front of me. I mean, he's averaging almost 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals in about 38 minutes per game. And he's shooting 44.3% from the field. He is the offensive hub for the Cavs right now. And you're just now kind of waiting to see if, like, when Darius Garland comes back, can they still kind of be balanced and let Donovan Mitchell be as effective as he is out there?
So is there a time frame for when Darius Garland is going to come back?
So for those who may not know, he had his inner eyelid on his left eye, I believe, scratched by Gary Trent Jr. on kind of a reckless defensive play. And his eye more or less swelled shut that night. He went back to Cleveland, had it evaluated, and there's no structural damage, no surgery required, which, you know, it's a big bullet dodge for your franchise point guard. And at shoot around on Wednesday, prior to their game against the Magic, Garland was seen out there wearing goggles, trying to do put up shots with Kevin Love and just figure out the balance there. And he was ruled out for Friday's game against Boston, and J.B. Bickerstaff has just been slowly updating us, saying that Darius is progressing. He's going to get better, but they're going to make sure his eye is bright, make sure he's fully healthy and, you know, comfortable and able to see out of both eyes, because you can still see it's pretty swollen, even though he's able to open it. And J.B. said that they have to sometimes hold it open to see if it opens, but he'll be wearing protective goggles when he comes back. I think possibly the earliest he could return is Sunday against New York, but it wouldn't surprise me if Cleveland just errs on the side of caution and just kind of just lets him rest and make sure he's fully comfortable out there. So we'll see. So he could come back. He could technically make his home debut on Sunday against the Knicks, but they could always kick the can down the line and wait till possibly Wednesday when they play again.
Okay. And that night they'd be playing Boston, right? So they'd be having another game against Boston. That could be when Garland comes back. I mean, look, how have you felt about the Cavs right now without Garland? Do you feel like they're still, like, do you feel comfortable even if he does miss extended amount of time? Let's say he doesn't come back and they really just want to be as safe as possible. Do you think the Cavs are still in a good position because you still got the Celtics, the Knicks, you got Detroit, LA, and you got both LA teams coming up? How do you feel about that without Garland so far?
I think they're doing pretty well without Garland so far. I mean, this is no slight against Darius. I think this offense obviously hits another level. Things unlock quite differently when you have your franchise point guard out there. I think you guys can kind of say that on the Knicks side of things with Jalen Brunson just being a consistent threat. Just like having a guard who can set the table more often than not and just be that offensive hub. But again, Donovan Mitchell's just kind of on a tear, and the Cavs have ripped a lot of pages out of the Jazz's book on what made Donovan Mitchell so successful, where they put shooters next to him. So you see a lot of lineups that feature Caris LeVert, Dean Wade, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen to start. And then you see a lot of Kevin Love. You see a lot of Jetty Osman. You see some Hollow Netto sometimes just to let Donovan Mitchell kind of rest and catch his breath a little bit. But you're running a lot of spread pick and roll, and it's been effective so far. I think Wednesday's game against the Magic saw some the cracks where Mitchell just didn't have a good shooting night, and the Cavs were still able to kind of grind it out and win by playing to their other strength, which is Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And you're starting to see a little bit of balance out there offensively. It's not perfect. I think there's going to be off nights like that, and there could be a situation where the Cavs kind of burn themselves out a little bit because they're having to play at a higher level without Garland out there. But so far, they're 3-1. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league, which is surprising because they're one of the worst last year, and especially the fact that they're like they shoot the 25th most three-pointers in the league, which is just even more staggering in terms of efficiency. And They play incredibly slow because they have 2 7-footers on the floor, and they sometimes look for fast break opportunities, but they're solid defensively. They're actually 2nd in defensive rating as of today, 8th in offensive rating in the league. So they're really balanced. They're a good team. They have a net rating. They're 1st in the league in that. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect. They could drop tonight's game against Boston. They could drop Sunday's game against New York and be 3-3. But it's not really about the game-to-game stuff. It's more so being focused on the playoffs. And I think just winning games and kind of finding proper momentum and figuring out wrinkles about your offense and other things, it's a good way to go about it. So far it's been good, but you got to kind of just keep watching how it's going, because, you know, there's going to be nights where just things don't go your way and you lose. Like the game against Orlando, they could have lost and the Magic could have gotten their 1st win of the season that night.
So what would you say has been like the biggest surprise then from like watching this team play without Garland, and what are you expecting from him like when he comes back? Because as of right now, you talked about how you got Donovan Mitchell that's kind of shouldering the load for most of it because of his scoring ability. But what do you see coming back once you get Garland, once the team's fully healthy? How long do you think it'll take for them to all click once Garland's back? Like, what do you think about that?
That's a good question, because there's the Ricky Rubio factor in all of this too. I think him coming back is kind of going to expand things a little bit. I asked JB Bickerstaff about this during training camp, like ideally rotation wise, because he's always said, like, I want to have one of Garland or Mitchell on the floor at any given time for all 48 minutes of the game. And I asked, do you feel the same way it's Jared Allen and Evan Mobley? And he kind of expounded upon it, saying, like, there's 4 out of 7 core guys in our rotation that we always want on the floor at any given moment. And based on my estimation, that's Garland, Mitchell, LeVert, Mobley, Allen, Okoro, Love, and Osman. Love and Osman. And then that list expands to Ricky Rubio as well when he comes back. So to answer your question, I think it's going to take time. I have my skepticism that it's going to click right away. Like Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland seem really tight off the floor, and like they seem really close just in general. And you saw some of it really clicking against the Sixers in the preseason, where you see Mitchell driving to the basket and Garland floats out to the perimeter. And because defense is just half the respect, the lethality of those two on offense, and they're playing off each other in harmony. And then you also see some situations where they're playing a bit of buddy ball, where it's my turn, your turn, and it just kind of kills the flow of the offense. So it's going to take time. When he comes back, I expect some bumpiness to it, because Garland, at least when he was available against Toronto, was playing a little amped up and just looked sloppy out there and just a little inconsistent. But maybe closer to the All-Star break, they'll start clicking a little bit. And again, the goal is not to win a championship this year. It's to make the playoffs for the first time since 97-98 without LeBron. And like where most of this roster wasn't alive when that happened. So you kind of get to that step and then level up from there. But once you bring Rubio back into the fold, I think you just got to kind of figure out what lineups work, what lineups don't work, what players work in certain situations. Like, biggest surprise is like Isaac Okoro is not a factor offensively, which is disappointing, because you expect some type of year 3 leap from him. And then you have guys like Jetty Osman, who pretty inconsistent, but the Cavs have kind of just compartmentalized him a little bit to say, like, we need you to shoot, sometimes give us some playmaking, and then just crash the glass when you can, because you're a bigger forward. And you see Osman really vibing well off of the 3-point gravity Donovan Mitchell kind of has, or just the gravity Mitchell has in general. Because whenever Mitchell drives to the basket, he is looking for shooters on the perimeter. And Osman's a guy who finds himself pretty wide open. Caris LeVert finds himself pretty wide open. So just surprising in general, like how good this Cavs team is in terms of 3-point shooting. Because JB Bickerstaff is a guy who tends to roll his eyes at analytics and just kind of says, like, the league has fetishized the 3-pointer, and like, games are more traditionally won in the paint. You impose your will on the interior. So I think you can take some pages from that, but add that touch of 3-point shooting and you're much more of a normal NBA team at that point. So I think the shooting numbers will regress, but for sure, so far it's been surprising, and it can be a way they can really be effective against some teams that might kind of frustrate them on the interior. Because again, Allen and Mobley are just monsters in their own right, and you probably want to contain them and maybe just Derek Cleveland shoot you out of a game.
For sure. And you know, for the Knicks, that's actually kind of been their bread and butter. Their shooting actually hasn't been that good. They've been 24th. They're actually 24th in 3-point percentage right now with the amount of shots that they're taking as a 3-point shooting team, which has been great. They're 12th when it comes to the amount of attempts they're putting up, but they're only shooting 33.1% so far, four games into the season. And I think for the Knicks, where they've been very, very successful is attacking the paint. And that's been shown because with Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Derrick Rose, a lot of our guys are just able to attack and finish, especially Jalen. When you watch him play, he's got that footwork. He's just so crafty. He can get, you know, whether you're bigs, wings, whoever, just to get into the air and then he's just able to finish around the rim or just get that. Right now, it's been this sideways jumper that he's been able to knock down. It's just been wonderful. And Julius Randle, he came in even better shape, willing to run the floor. We're seeing him drive. As of right now, the Knicks are leading the league. Actually, I should say they're second in the league with drives per game at 57.3, with OKC leading with 62.8, and the Pistons falling after the Knicks being third with 57.3. So the Knicks are going to attack and try to force Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen to see if they can stop them. And it'll be interesting considering with Jalen Brunson what he's done and what we've seen, what he did in the playoffs against Rudy Gobert and just being able to attack him. So I'm looking forward if the Knicks are able to attack the Cleveland Cavaliers in that aspect on the defensive side. But going back to you, like you talk about how Bickerstaff wants the game is won in the paint, right? And the Cavs are shooting so well from three. How do you feel like the distribution between the basketball has been with Donovan Mitchell, Jarrett Allen, and Evan Mobley? Because once Garland comes back, that's four guys. You really have a big four on your team.
Yeah.
That a lot of guys need to get touches to get going. Do you think that's like, I know you said it's going to take time for it to work out, but do you see a shift going where they're going to be focusing more on the paint, having Donovan Mitchell drive a bit more and try to get inside shots, or just make sure that Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen get their touches in the paint just so that way you get that high percentage shot to play that way that JB Bickerstaff is looking for?
So that's a really good question. And I think Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are both guards that thrive in pick and roll. And you have Jarrett Allen, who's a very good screen setter and is very good in the pick and roll and running to the basket and just is very effective with his limited touches. I believe, I'm going to have to pull up their stats in front of me right now, but Jarrett Allen is averaging 9.5 field goal percentage per game, is still averaging 13.5 points per game and 11.5 rebounds. Evan Mobley is only taking 10 shots per game, and JB Bickerstaff said the other day that he wants to increase that. He wants Mobley to kind of be shooting more three-pointers and just kind of showcasing his ability as an offensive hub and making him more of a three-level threat. And also that spacing is just going to make Allen better. And the three-point shooting, I think more than anything, is just a product of the fact that teams kind of know that the Cavs last year tried to build that identity by attacking the interior and imposing their will on the inside and in the paint. And again, they're daring the Cavs to shoot it because statistically speaking, they weren't a good three-point shooting team last year outside of Kevin Love and Darius Garland. And then you have Donovan Mitchell, obviously, but like you're missing Garland. So it's Love and Mitchell as your primary threats. So it's going to be tricky. I think, like you said, you want them to get their shots and keep them involved in the offense. I think having Darius Garland, just having a good existing chemistry with Jarrett Allen, where there's almost like a seamless fit right away, where they're just functioning well in the pick and roll, and it's kind of a bread and butter play for the Cavs, for Garland, for Allen to set a screen for Garland, and then they roll to the basket and throw a lob. Donovan Mitchell's not as willing of a lob passer. You see him try it a few times during the preseason and regular season, and it's tough because Evan Mobley missed almost the entire preseason and didn't play with Donovan Mitchell once during the preseason if it wasn't in camp because of the sprained ankle. And Wednesday night against Orlando, JB Bickerstaff more or less said that Evan Mobley is still kind of going through his preseason right now after the first four games of the season and is trying to find that offensive familiarity with Mitchell and kind of find the spots where they do and don't work together. And I asked Donovan about this after their home opening win over Washington, like, hey, are you feeling comfortable with Evan out there? And he's just like, yeah, I do, but it's still a work in progress. And he's like, my goal more than anything is to be a different type of passer with these guys on the floor. So obviously, like with Jarrett, like finds different spots that maybe Darius can't kind of get, or like the fact that he just kind of functions a little bit differently with Evan Mobley than Darius Garland does in terms of passing, because Jared Allen interestingly said that Darius is more of a straight shooting passer and Mitchell kind of more snakes and kind of holds onto the ball a little bit and does things a little bit more crafty. It's an interesting function, but the Cavs kind of utilizing the spread pick and roll and the three-point shooting aspect is just a product of them being so big on the inside. But I think it's again, it's going to take time. But I think you just have a guy in Evan Mobley who's still raw and a little unrefined offensively, and like you still are trying to tap in and mold him into what you want him to be or what he's comfortable at. You have Jared Allen, who isn't the most high maintenance star out of this core four, but he is the most consistent, I'd say, just because you're probably going to get a double double or close to it from him every night in terms of points and rebounds. And then you just have Mitchell and Garland, who just got to figure out that balance. And I think it's going to be on the coaching staff to say, like, hey, we need to get more touches for Evan Mobley, because before the game against Orlando on Wednesday, he was averaging single digit touches, which is something you probably don't want for the guy who's going to be your franchise cornerstone in maybe two or three years. So you noticed in the game, especially in the second half against Orlando, Mobley kind of came out a little more fired up. He was demanding the ball on certain possessions, which is rare for him, because he's a very soft-spoken, just hardly speaks kind of guy, and would rather just kind of play within the flow of the offense. And
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
I think we're now going to see, like, maybe Mobley's not going to be a guy who averages like 25 plus a night. Maybe he's like more like 15 to 18 to 20, and then 10, 12, 11, 13 rebounds, a couple assists, 2 or 3 blocks, and a steal or two a night. Like, he's just such a complete player on both ends that it kind of is underappreciated. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting. But I think it's just an interesting dynamic and a good problem to have for Cleveland.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as of right now, you talk about like your offense looking to click, right, for Cleveland. And it's interesting that you guys are doing so well, more so. I wouldn't say that it's interesting. It's not shocking, because you got Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen, and, you know, those guys are helping your defense. As of right now, you know, looking at the net rating amongst the league, the Cavaliers are second in the league with a defensive rating of 10.2, and with the Knicks being eighth with 108.1. But conversely, the Knicks are a better scoring team right now, not by much. The Knicks' offensive rating is 116.6, with the Cavs being 114.4. And I think, as you mentioned, that's the Cavs trying to figure things out for the Knicks. Kind of a little shocking to me, considering that we have Tom Thibodeau as our head coach. I would thought defense would have been the most prominent thing coming into this season, but it's not shocking, because our perimeter defense has been lackluster so far, because you got Jalen Brunson, who's been playing very well defensively. Like, he's been doing a good job. He's just been terrific. Awesome signing for the Knicks. But we have Evan Fournier as our starting two guard. And that, plus, I would say also RJ, just with like backdoor cuts and so forth, that just get, they just get attacked losing their guys. And so I think for RJ, it's just like the adjustment of like making sure he's on the perimeter, trying to find his guys when they're relocating. But definitely with Brunson and Fournier, that's been the point of attack. And you talk about 3-point shooting. I see the Cavs going to try to exploit the 3-point shooting because interior defense is bread and butter when it comes to Tom Thibodeau having a drop coverage type system and Mitchell Robinson. Mm-hmm. So going into this game, man, you know, I want to know your thoughts about these matchups. The ones that I'm highlighting for this game is Jarrett Allen and Mitchell Robinson at the center position. Power forward, Evan Mobley, he's nice. I'm looking at Julius Randle as the other one. And obviously Donovan Mitchell. And I'm 100% certain it's not going to be Evan Fournier on Donovan Mitchell. I think it's going to be RJ Barrett. So those are the three kind of matchups that I'm looking at for this game. Would you agree those would be the key matchups?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, Jalen Brunson is a bit of an X factor in this one too, because he has been awesome for the Knicks to open the season. Like, I love this signing for New York. Like, I liked it at the time. I thought he was very good for Dallas, and I'm still shocked the Mavericks kind of let him walk away like that. But either way, the Knicks are an interesting team where they kind of have similar positionally, like with Mitchell and Allen, I agree with that. Mobley and Randall have some similarities, but they're also different players how they operate. But like, it's a fun matchup just because it's a challenge. Like, Paolo Banchero was a challenge for Evan Mobley because that's a guy he has to defend in space more often than not. And Randall has just like a lot of multifaceted assets to his game where like you're asking your two guy to kind of step up and maybe shut down probably the second or third best player on the floor for New York that night. So it's an interesting task, but yeah, I agree definitely with RJ Barrett on Donovan Mitchell. That's you're arguably your best perimeter defender. You want him defending the best perimeter player. If Darius Garland's available, it definitely makes this dynamic a little more interesting because I think you're trying to maybe exploit some of the issues Jalen Brunson has defensively, but more so the defensive issues that Fournier has. And then you like just try to work on this chess strategy here. And then offensively, if you're Cleveland, if you really want to keep Evan Mobley going, or if you want to keep Jared Allen going, like Mitchell Robinson is going to be an interesting challenge because he's a very good defensive big man who is kind of like Allen in that vein where he's low maintenance, but he provides you a lot of consistency on a night-to-night basis when it comes to blocks, rebounding, and just like easy putbacks and scoring opportunities in the paint.
It's going to be an interesting matchup, man. Like those are the top three matches that I see from this game. It's going to be interesting how it's going to be mix and matching because you got, as you said earlier, good 3-point shooting team, and you want you're talking about the defensive interior. That's kind of like our like reverse for how we attack. So it'll be interesting to see how it all works out for this upcoming game. Before I get you out of here, Evan, and thank you so much for your time. What is the final score for this game? I know you're going to choose the Cavs to win. What do you think the final score is going to be?
Let me think about this. Just because the Cavs are a good offensive team. But the Knicks are scoring. They're the second best scoring-wise team in the league. So this is interesting. So I'm going to say it's going to be more of a grind-out rock fight, but it's going to be a little bit higher scoring. Maybe Cleveland wins 104 to 102 or 100 or something like that. It's going to be a close game. I think Thibodeau is going to do a good job preparing this team. I think the Cavs, if they have Garland back, are going to have to kind of figure some stuff out versus a Knicks team who is fairly familiar with one another. And we didn't even talk about my guy, Isaiah Hartenstein, one of my favorite Cavs signings, like in the midseason. He's just such a fascinating player. But it's just the Knicks kind of have continuity, which is something the Cavs don't, especially if Garland's back in there. And that could be something that the Knicks could take advantage of because Jalen Brunson is kind of a plug and play star here for you, where he is more low maintenance and it's easier to have the offense flow around him when you have guys that are just familiar with one another. So it's going to be a close one, but yeah, I'll be a homer here and say the Cavs can nearly win this one out.
I'm going to go 108-102 Knicks because I agree with you. That's going to be a grinded out game. Both teams are good offensively, defensively as well. It's going to be possession based. It's going to be who makes the fewest mistakes coming down. You mentioned that Jalen Brunson would be the X factor, and that's because you don't know if you're going to have Darius Garland. Is it Raul Neto who's starting for you right now?
No, it's Donovan Mitchell at the point. So
shooting guard.
Caris LeVert and then Dean Wade is starting at the three right now because Isaac Okoro can't hit a three. So.
Gotcha. Okay. This will be an interesting matchup then. Yeah,
definitely.
This will be a very interesting matchup. And I think the last thing I'm going to talk about before our bench units, man. We didn't even get to discuss that before I get you out of here. Quick thoughts on the bench unit. You know, Knicks have been known for having a top bench unit with Derrick Rose, Manuel Quickly. Cam Reddish has been getting it, has been finding his rhythm as of late. His numbers aren't always going to show that, but I think defensively he's been solid and he's been very efficient on the offensive end. You talk about Hartenstein, he's just been, I mentioned on the last postgame for the Knicks, it's kind of like, I always look at our starters and the bench as like Thunder and Lightning, Thunder being our starters where they're ready to attack and just, you know, move a little bit more with like working the half court. They're showing a little bit more pace this season than they have previously by the way they just attack the open floor. But I think of them as guys who are willing to attack the paint. And then our second unit, they just like to move fast, man. They like to shoot, move fast, running and gunning. That's why I go like Thunder and Lightning. And with Hartenstein and Mitch, it's still like Thunder and Lightning because Mitch is the defensive guy. Hartenstein is more of an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be an interesting matchup where our bench unit's going to do a lot of scoring. How's your second unit? Who's your second unit?
Cleveland's second unit is a little interesting because if there is no Darius Garland, you could see, more likely you'll see Kevin Love for sure. You'll see Isaac Okoro at times. You'll see more Jetty Osman. And then for like that ninth man spot, you might either see Hollow Neto or you might see Robin Lopez, just depending on what J.D. Bickerstaff is feeling that night. Let's say like the Knicks run out lineups that feature more Obi Toppin, Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, and Julius Randle. That's probably going to mean you probably see more of Robin Lopez just as an extra big body to kind of protect the paint and protect the rim a little bit. So the Cavs bench unit is more multifaceted where J.D. likes to stagger in a lot of starters with his bench units where it's not just solely the five reserves on the floor. So you see a lot of Donovan Mitchell or you see a lot of Darius Garland playing with one of them, or you see a lot of Evan Mobley just acting as like the primary big man. So like, it's just a lot of tinkering and positioning, and like the Cavs haven't fully figured out their rotation yet because one, Garland's not back, and two, I think they're waiting for Ricky Rubio to see where he's at physically as well after that ACL tear to kind of figure out the full rotation. But yeah, I think the Thunder and Lightning parallel for the Knicks is interesting. I just think the Cavs try to play like Lightning, but they're more slow like Thunder when they have those big men out there where they look to go fast. They look for fast break opportunities. You see Kevin Love trying to attempt dunks on the fast break, and he doesn't really have the verticality. Young Kevin Love didn't have that verticality, but old Kevin Love definitely doesn't have that verticality. And it's funny because all the guys on the team say he's like 50 years old and wears hearing aids on the floor. So it's an interesting dynamic, but the bench unit the Cavs have is probably not as elite as the Knicks, and like IQ isn't out there yet for you guys, and like you see more Derrick Rose, you probably have a little bit of Obi Toppin mixed in, Isaiah Hartenstein. Like you have a lot of interesting pieces, and like you said, the Hartenstein's an interesting offensive hub. Like I could gush about him for 30 minutes because when he came to Cleveland and he almost had a triple double with points, or no, he had a quad double with points, rebounds, assists, and blocks in a game. We asked him about a post game. He was like, I studied a lot of Nikola Jokic before I came here. And like that playmaking stuff is just really fun. And I'm glad he got paid. I'm sure the Clippers wish they could have kept him, but he's going to be really fun for the Knicks this year.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the main reasons that we took the Memphis Grizzlies into overtime. So it's going to be a fun matchup, man. I'm looking forward to it. Evan, thank you so much for coming on to the show and previewing this matchup. Please let our listeners know where they can find you and any work that you have coming out.
Sure thing. You can find me on Twitter or pretty much anywhere on social at amnotevan. I'm on Locked On Cast 5 days a week. We'll be talking about this Knicks game for Monday's episode on Halloween. We'll also talk about the Celtics game on Friday and maybe look ahead to the Boston game on Wednesday as well. You can subscribe to my newsletter right down Euclid. I cover the Cleveland sports scene at large and I kind of espouse my opinion. I wrote a piece I really was happy with the other day about how the Cavs just kind of need to let Donovan Mitchell cook. And it's been fun. It's fun when your basketball team's fun that you cover. It's fun when all the sports teams are kind of interesting in Cleveland. And I think it's just fun to see like that again, that this Sunday matchup between the Knicks and the Cavs is good. It should be a primetime afternoon slate if football wasn't out.
For sure. That's for sure. There'll be a lot going on Sunday. But once again, Evan, thank you for coming on. And to Knicks Nation, thank you all for tapping in. Make sure to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell. And look, if you didn't catch it on YouTube, you can find it on all audio listening platforms, Apple, Spotify, you name it. We're all over the place. You can go check us out anywhere. Make sure to go check out KnicksFanTV.com. Make sure to go check out Remy's recap after this game. Make sure to check out KnicksFanTV.com for all articles that we're publishing. All right. Make sure to do all that. Support the channel. It only helps us. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Knicks Nation. We'll catch you later.